بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين الطيبين. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. We have received, as many of you have heard, information and reports about a very sad massacre of the Shia in Nigeria. A very unfortunate incident that we have got to wait to see the details of, but whatever the details are, a large number of believers have been massacred brutally and without justification, whatever the details may be. When the believers globally were commemorating Arba'een of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, many of whom traveled to Karbala itself, and we were there and we witnessed the presence of Nigerian Shia in Najaf and in Karbala in large numbers. The believers in Nigeria had a replication of what happened in Karbala and the walk with a very large presence, and on the last days of Safar they had gathered just like the rest of us, the rest of the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, gathered in their Husayniyas, in their centers, in their masajid, to commemorate the death of the Holy Prophet, the passing away of the Holy Prophet, the martyrdom and the shahada of Imam al-Mujtaba, and the martyrdom of Imam al-Ridha, when unfortunately this incident has taken place and the Nigerian army has come forth with whatever justification that it has tried to justify this incident with, and has opened fire on women and children and men, innocent people that have committed no crime, even according to what appears to be found, as little as it is, but it's still found on some of the Western media. One of the things that I would want to touch on in this presentation, in this talk, that hopefully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts as a small contribution that we can offer towards what has happened, because we have heard and we know from our sources, from our ahadith, that the Holy Prophet and his progeny have said, whoever hears the call of a Muslim calling out, Ya lal Muslimin, calling for help, and closes their eyes to that, and they say and do nothing towards it, then they are not going to be a Muslim. We have said things here in the holy city of Qum before this, and now to you all listeners and viewers throughout the globe, and I hope there are many of you that we're able to reach out to. There are a few points that we'd like to mention here. The first is, please open your eyes to the coverage of the media of this incident. Let's all open our eyes to these realities for those who are not seeing this reality, or for those of us who forget this reality. Just a little while ago, we had a similar incident in Paris that 150 people were killed. They were said to have been innocent people killed by what they call a Muslim terrorist organization. Whatever that group is, however true that story is, whatever details are missing there, the fact is 150 people were killed, and they didn't apparently deserve to be killed, and people condemned it, and it was covered. All the media outlets covered that, and I mean all media outlets, and they may still be covering that and every now and then mentioning something about it. But when this incident has happened in Nigeria, when over 100, according to accounts, over 200, 300, over, according to some accounts, 800 and 1,000, which I hope these are not accurate figures. I pray to God these are not accurate figures. But the least numbers are numbers and figures that would have been all over the media if it would have happened in Paris, if it would have happened in London, if it would have happened in Washington or New York or some other American city. If it would have happened in Canada or in Germany, you would have seen it all over the media. But is it because these people are African? Is it because the color of their skin is black? Is it because they are Muslim? Is it because they are Shia? That their lives don't matter? Whatever the incident was, even if the army was justified in doing what it did, were these not people to be mentioned on the media for you to go and try to investigate? Where are the reporters that talk about reporting the truth? Where are the media that talk about reporting the truth? Is this really important to them? Is the truth really important to them? Why is it that if it's in Paris, it's important, but if it's in Africa, if it's in Nigeria, if it's black people, if it's Muslims, if it's Shias, it's not important? For us, for the believers who've been following the media, we don't have any expectations. We don't expect Warner Brothers. We don't expect CNN and Fox and Sky and BBC to cover this incident, effectively at least. Even if it is found, which I wasn't able to find much on the incident in that media. We don't expect them, but for those of us who have not woken up to the reality that the media in the West has an agenda, and their agenda is not to cover the truth. The agenda is not to cover what happens to the Muslims and who's behind it and why it's happened. Also, I would like to encourage us to think about the governments that talk about how governments such as the Syrian government are mistreating their people, and how they are willing to take troops to those countries to fight against a government that, according to the polls, according to at least some polls, over 50 or 60, and according to some 70% of the people support that government. They're willing to take troops inside that country and to fight the government, even if they were truthful about that, which there are plenty of signs that they are not. But when it comes to the Nigerian government committing this massacre, which is definitely a crime, that if the Nigerian government does not bring to justice the perpetrators, the general, and the army members that were participating in this massacre, then global bodies, institutions, NGOs, the United Nations, if it is worth anything, if they claim they have any credibility, which over and over and over again we have realized there is zero credibility to the United Nations and to the Security Council of the United Nations. But where are these governments to speak about what happened there? They gathered in Paris last year when the massacre was much smaller in number. The lives lost were much less than the lives lost in this incident. You saw heads of government travel to Paris about what happened. And they've sort of, in political ways, perhaps we can say, even forced some heads of government to join. But where are they now? Are these governments truly trying to bring other governments to justice? Where is any form of condemnation? Where are the international bodies? Where is the United Nations? Open your eyes to these realities. These are realities that every now and then we are reminded of. We need to be reminded of. Let's not be naive, brothers and sisters. We've got to learn that lesson in order to gain more insight towards what's going on and hopefully understand what our roles are. If people want to gather on the streets of Washington or New York or Houston or Los Angeles or Chicago or any other city to protest against what happened in Nigeria, if you want to plead to the governments who should have said things and have said nothing about it, can you please help the Shias in Nigeria? Do you think that would be wise? Do you think it is wise to address the United Nations and plead to them and ask them and beg them, can you please send people over there and investigate? Shouldn't they have been the first ones to comment about this, but they are silent because that is not truly what their obligations are. That's not truly what they're looking towards. That's not what they are defining their own goals as, although their name, their titles are suggesting that they should, but they aren't. Let's realize that. If we want to protest, we should be protesting their silence. We should be condemning their silence. If we are in the United States of America, we should be condemning the silence of the American government towards these atrocities. We should be, if we live in Britain, condemn and protest the silence of the British government against these atrocities. If we live in France, similarly. If we live in Germany, similarly. We've got to protest and condemn the silence of these governments, these international bodies. If I were in New York today, I would go to the United Nations not to ask them, but to consider them partners in crime with the Nigerian army because of their silence. They're leaving and they're allowing the Nigerian government and the Nigerian army to feel they can do this again. This is an important lesson that we need to learn. What are some of our responsibilities and obligations? The call has come, brothers and sisters. It was very painful to see those images. It was very painful to see the images of Sheikh Zakzaki, this great pious scholar that has led a movement, an effective movement, that has brought this beautiful religion of Islam to a large number of people. And they have learned their direction, and they have learned that they need to go to the Ahlul Bayt for guidance. And that movement is growing and growing. When you know all of that about the Nigerian believers, the Nigerian Muslimin, the Nigerian Shias, and then you see the images, how they were massacred brutally because they were calling out the name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, because they were calling out the names of Imam al-Mujtaba and Imam al-Ridha salamullah alayhima. It's very painful to see that, and to see there is no response coming against this. We've got to do something, but what needs to be happening? What are we supposed to be doing? There are probably plenty of things that need to be done. There's a couple of things that come to my mind, and I hope we all try to think what all we can do. And we try to help each other understand that responsibility and try to do something about this. One of the things that we definitely need to do is, after understanding the purpose behind this. Again, I can't get into the details of the incident because those details have not been revealed. Because nobody has gone forth to try to actually see what happened and to listen to both sides, gather facts and tell us about what happened. But from what we can see afar, it is clear that nothing could have justified the massacre of people. Maybe if there had been only arrests, maybe that could have been justified. But the massacre of people, the shooting of people and the taking them into custody without medical care and attention when they are in severe medical conditions, this is not justified. As these people were, according to all accounts, unarmed, and there was no reason for this incident. So why did this happen? Why is it that after this incident occurred, the criminal ruler of what they call Saudi Arabia, that we hope that name is changed soon, and that monarchy and that royal family, as they call them, no longer rules the innocent people of Arabia, but Malik Salman calls and supports the Nigerian government. This tells you that there is something other than what meets the eyes. If we analyze the movement of the Islamic movement led by Sheikh Zakzaki, and we analyze what just happened, I would say my analysis of the situation is that this is an attempt to create fear in those who are part of this movement in continuing their mission. and it is to create hatred and fear amongst other Nigerians towards this movement. There are many important points that would be mentioned with regards to the analysis of the situation that I'm going to leave for now. But one thing that is clear is that this action was taken in order to prevent this movement from moving forward, to pressure this movement and its leadership, who is still in custody, to move forward. And if we don't help out, it is going to be effective. The people in Nigeria, the Muslims and the Shias, are frightened. They have gone through a very difficult experience that if we were to go through, I don't know how many of us would continue on our mission. If you remember what happened in Karbala and what the women and children saw in Karbala, it was very difficult to continue that. There was need for support. And the divine leadership, Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi, provided that support to the Lady Zainab and to the rest of those that were there. When we see this incident happening, and we know that the people that went through it have been hurt, and they're very fearful of the consequences of this and the aftermath of it and what's going to happen after this, we've got to make sure we give them the support that they need so that they realize that the people of the world, the Muslimin and the Shia of the world, all Muslimin, I encourage all Muslimin, this is not sectarian, all Muslims of the world should be coming together to support this movement. And if this movement is supported, when the people, the believers in Nigeria, see that support from the believers, they see that connection from the believers, it will soothe their heart, as opposed to feeling like they have been left alone. Perhaps thinking that, is it because we are African? Is it because we are black that the rest of the Muslim ummah is letting us go through this alone? We've got to support them. In what way? Showing our support on the streets, showing our support on social media, showing our support in whatever way we can, by trying to call for a few things. One is justice. We've got to call for justice. We've got to call for the release of Sheikh Zakzaki. This is very important. We've got to make sure that the people there feel that support through making these calls. We should be calling for committees, for various organizations, international bodies that we can trust from the Muslim world and from anywhere we can find to go in and to try to shed light on what actually happened. We demand justice. We demand truth about what actually happened. We demand the release of Sheikh Zakzaki, who is definitely there without justification. If we give that support and we find other ways of supporting the people, if they are in need of monetary aid, we've got to find ways to get that aid to the people in Nigeria. People have lost family members. Families may have lost husbands and fathers, and they are in need of help, financial aid. If that is needed, or anything else, we've got to find out what they need and provide them that support. If we do so, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will include us amongst those who have helped and supported believers who have been oppressed. And we seek the proximity of the divine through such actions. In the end, I would like to encourage all of us to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for support, to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these circumstances, in these days and nights, in these weeks and months that we are seeing more and more atrocities towards Muslimin in Syria, in Palestine, in Yemen, in Bahrain, in Iraq, in Lebanon, in Nigeria today, and God knows where else. They are increasing the bloodshed of the believers. There are people that are being killed, they were being killed, and according to some information, even today in Burma, just because they are Muslim. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help and support. Not out of weakness, not feeling weak, but rather as being part of, as those who are part of this global movement. And we are seeing the progress of the movement. And we are seeing these atrocities against the believers being the result and the reaction of those who don't want to see this message of justice, this message that brings life to humanity, to all communities and all societies, that brings justice and the distribution of wealth to all people and allows everyone to benefit from the resources of the world. Those who are fighting it are feeling weak. That's why they are committing these atrocities. So with strength, with the energy to move forward, with the want to sacrifice all of what we have in order to help this movement move forward, we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those thoughts, and of course with heavy hearts, because of what's happening, and specifically what happened in Nigeria. We say, Allahumma inna nashku ilayk faqda nabiyyina. O Allah, we complain to you the absence of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, wa ghaybata waliyyina, our leader, the Imam of our time, is absent. Wa kathrata aduwwina, there are plenty of enemies, unfortunately, that we have, that pop up here and there. Wa qillata adadina, we're small in number, small in resources, but strong because of our faith. But we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these complaints, we ask Him for help and support. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Him to enable all of us to become of His true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve all the believers who went through that hardship in Nigeria, and they are going through it, to be relieved of their pains. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to support them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all of those who have been imprisoned and are in severe medical conditions to be released, to be cured, to give them more strength to continue the good work that they were. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all of our maraja, but especially our beloved leader Ayatollah Khamenei, that Sheikh Zakzaki and his followers took pride in following that leadership. And it is because following that leadership, who is a representative of the Imam of our time, who is leading us towards the direction that we need to be moving in order to be followers of the Imam of our time, it is because of that that all of what we see happening in Nigeria has happened. We ask Allah to prolong his life and give him good health, along with all of our maraja, inshallah. Walhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.